Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 106, and this week's guest is Krista Brandt. Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 106, Andrew. Not 105, it's 106.
Mm-hmm.
You messed it up last show, and I had to go back and fix it.
Did I? That's not how I recall it.
How's it going?
Good. It's gone. We've lost the weather. It's gone cold and horrible.
But before we get going, I think you don't you owe somebody an apology?
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Who was that? Just remind me.
Mr. Alex Purcell.
Yeah. Well, I have apologized to him.
And he's right.
But not publicly and on bended knees. So in show 105, I think you announced that you'd got a zine from him.
And mm-hmm.
I was adamant, absolutely adamant that I hadn't got a copy. And of course I did have.
But lo and behold, on the counter underneath your grocery list, there it is, huh? Tucked away.
And it's a great scene, but I just forgotten. So I did apologize to him. I apologized to him in text message. I apologized to him publicly in the Facebook group. Mm. And he thought it was funny, I think. Yeah.
So you've kicked off some workshops coming up, huh? It's all
That's exciting. Well, the dark room is not quite finished but it's now twice as big as it was, and I'm waiting for I put down some of this heavy duty floor paint because I've got a chipboard floor and I painted it.
What kind of heavy duty paint? Like epoxy, kind of like heavy duty garage, like
garage? Yeah, like garage paint, but garage paint, yeah. Garage paint.
Garage.
Garage. But you can, this stuff like you can use on wood, but it takes a week to go off properly, you know, so I can't do anything. So then I've got to fix some skirting boards, you know, along around the bottom.
Yes.
And then I've got my sink to position, so I've got a nice new sink that someone gave me. And I've just got to build a few tables, and we're good to go. And I've got a couple of workshops booked for September.
Mm.
So a little bit of time. I might be able to fix something in August, but we'll see.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's good. But Simon Forster and I went down to Dave Shrimpton's house yesterday, and you would have perhaps seen the stuff that I was posting. We recorded some podcasts for the large format podcast, but I learned how to make wet plate collodion on tin. Yeah. So these were tin types.
But Dave
Shrimpton's got this house, Corey, that is just beautiful. You know, it's a perfect English cottage. He's got this big barn with these huge flashlights and also floods, and the whole of the barn is lined with weird stuff: animals, skulls, doll parts.
Yeah.
I find it really hard. If you ever go on the Facebook group, no, you wouldn't. You'd need to go on the. I'd need to let you into the large format photography Facebook group. You would see photographs of Dave's place, and you open a door and then you go into his dark room, which is also his gallery, and that's where he does all the wet plate magic as well. So I coated a 4x5 plate with some, you know.
The stuff that you coat it with?
Collodion, which he gets from my mate down the road at Wet Plate Supplies. And then you wait till it goes kind of tacky, which is just a few seconds. And then you have to put it in this silver bath, a wooden bath of silver nitrate, which is carefully managed. And you put it in there for 3 minutes. And then you take the plate out and load it into your holder. This is now under a red safe light. And then you have we had about 10 minutes to make an exposure, you see. So I have to go back to the camera, focus, and, you know, try not to rush. And then you make the exposure and you go back into the dark room and pour some developer over it, which looks like yellow wee. And you pour your developer over it and then for 15 seconds, and then you just fix it. And if some of the areas start coming up, while the developer's on, Dave's watching this image come up on the tin plate. And the areas which are perhaps a bit hot, that have had a bit of heavy exposure, yeah, he squirts some water on that to just wash off the developer to slow it down. You know, it's very clever. And then we put it in the fixer, and it just reverses and comes up. You know, it's like watching a Polaroid develop, but of course it's far cooler than a Polaroid. And I was using a projector lens, a Kodak projector lens. A lights. 3.6 f/3.6 210mm projector lens, and which I paid £25 for. So that was all right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we had a great day, and I think I'm going to look out for a silver bath and do a little bit of this myself. The trouble is, unless you've got a mobile darkroom, you're confined to your back garden, aren't you, or to a studio.
Because they can't dry out, can they? The plates can't dry out.
No, you've got to make the exposure on the wet plate. That's why it's called wet plate. Not dry plate.
And then you get to have all those fun things laying around your house, like cyanide and
No, I don't think. I don't think there's any cyanide in it. It did smell ether. Ether is ether, part of it. I said today, aren't you supposed to be wearing a respirator at this point? He says, "Oh no, I don't wear one of those." So it was a nice smell. We were getting a bit high in there. It was good. So that was fun. And so the dark room's coming on. The wet plate was good. I'm going to go back and do a proper full workshop with Dave and learn how to do it properly. Because when you finish the plates off, to stop them oxidizing, you have to. Well, you don't have to, but it's advisable to put some kind of varnish on them.
Yeah, heat it up.
You have to heat it up, apparently. Yeah, Dave said when he first did it, he did it on the kitchen stove and it caught a light, and the whole top of his kitchen surface was a light for a few seconds.
Oops. I don't think my wife would be happy with that, so I won't be doing that.
But I think there's probably less drastic ways of doing it, but I don't know too much about it, really, because I've not done it before.
Cool.
What about you? Are you still doing bits and bobs or not?
Yeah, just kind of still plodding through a couple roles I have in. So, slow going.
You've got to work on that darkroom, though, really, you know, somehow.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
I know.
But, you know. Yeah.
So, anyway, enough about my exciting days.
Yeah.
We have a guest.
We do. Why don't you introduce him?
Really? Yeah. Well, I will introduce him because I know him a bit better than you. So we're very pleased to have on the show Mr. Brandt, Mr. Krista Brandt. How are you doing, Krista?
Hey, Krista.
Hi, thank you. I'm fine.
So sorry for the prolonged wait to introduce you, but I was very, very excited to talk about my
Andrew has a really long breath from time to time. If you...
your enthusiasm. I would surely like to try that one day myself.
Yeah, I want to also.
It's becoming more popular, isn't it? From about 5 or 10 years ago, when not many people were doing this, now it seems to be that everybody's doing wet plate.
Yeah.
And to be honest, once you've got the chemicals, and you can buy the collodion, you don't have to make it up from Meg Whites and whatever you use. You can buy the chemicals, and you can buy the metal plates ready cleaned with a film on it. You know, it had this protective film when it peeled off. Or you can just use glass. You know, we didn't get onto glass.
Yeah.
But the tin type, you know, you could... I've got this idea of people in the garden here, you know, friends, posing for a photograph. I go in the dark
room. That's cool,
And you make the tin type and they take it away with them like a Polaroid film.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds great, doesn't it, Krista? Do you think that's a good idea?
A few years back,
I don't know, it's probably... four, maybe 5 years ago, I was, you know what Craigslist is.
Yep.
I was looking at the photo stuff for sale there, and there was a guy who was out in the western part of the state, and he had an entire tin-type setup that he was selling, and I was interested in it, but it was dealing with cyanide, and he had all the chemistry, and you had to figure out how to mix it up, but we were living in an apartment at the time, and I just don't think I really had anywhere to put it to store it. You know, we had little kids, so I passed, but it was a whole setup. He was even going to give you instruction on, you know, how to do it, and but it was pretty cool. So,
well, there's lots of people offering workshops, or I think you can just go on YouTube as well, can't you?
Yeah,
but I think no matter how many times you watch somebody do it, to actually physically do it yourself, you know, it's
different. Yeah,
different. Yeah,
you probably need a workshop at least the first time, I guess.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah,
I would have dropped that glass plate in a heartbeat.
Right. Me too. Well, go ahead and coat 4 or 5, I guess.
Well, that's why I started with tin. You know, it was metal, you couldn't damage it really.
Yeah, right.
But I've got the beauty of it is nothing's perfect. And if you look at the first picture I did of Dave, where he's at the bottom of the picture, there's some weird stuff going on at the top, you know, like I think they call it something. It's like you get it on Polaroid sometimes, you know, like some contamination. I think it was where I'd contaminated it with silver from my thumb.
Mm.
But it's so unpredictable, but I think that's what people like about it, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was part of the process to give it atmosphere.
Yeah.
I mean, people who
it seems kind of unavoidable.
Well, I think you can work really cleanly and smartly, but mostly there's always some imperfection, and I think that's what makes it, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there people in Sweden offering this sort of thing?
Yes, there is some. There is one in Gothenburg. It's a couple of hours drive, but yeah.
Probably have a whole studio set up for it, huh? You can go in and just everything's... Yeah. Working there.
Yeah.
Do you follow on YouTube? Do you follow the adventures of Barut Peter Lin?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Don't call him Barut. I think I'm saying it wrong.
We'll find out.
Yeah, I have some of his pictures in my dark room as well.
Do you?
Nice.
Yeah, sitting next to yours, Andrew.
Yeah, he's a more stunning. He's, if you don't know him, Corey, Peter Lin, Borut, top shit photography. That's what it's called.
Oh yeah.
And he goes out in his Land Rover, and he's got a tent, you know, and he goes out into the woods, and most of it seems to be involving him getting naked, lying on a log or covering himself with leaves, and making wet plate pictures. Yeah,
getting bitten by ants.
Yeah.
A true artist, then?
Yep.
Yeah, he's a proper artist. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good channel.
Yeah.
So, Krista.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about yourself and where Pinhole fits into your photographic life. But, you know, we'll talk about other things, not just Pinhole, but fire away and tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, I've always been interested in photography through my mother, I guess. She always lugged the camera around and let us use it as kids. So it was back in the film days I started shooting, always in P mode on my Minolta SLR, because why change something that the camera can do so good? I didn't understand that back then.
Yeah, sure.
So I kept doing that as far as I shot on film. Then I get into the dark ages and got digital for a couple of years. 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. I've always shot a lot. Did a photo a day in a Facebook group, where we took one photograph each day on a theme, a specific theme. It got to be taken that day and put on Facebook that day or the day after as latest. Did that for almost 3 years without missing one day.
Oof, God bless you, man. Jeez.
And that's back in 2009, 2010. And that's the same time I got interested in film photography again. I found a Facebook post. I know you don't like Facebook, Corey, but it's excellent time capsule, because I found a post from January 2013 where I went to my storage unit where I had my stuff after a kind of a divorce thing. Mm-hmm. And I posted that I went to pick up some books and found these as well. And there were two Minolta cameras that I took back. And I guess it's kind of 2013 that I got really interested in film photography again. And Pinhole came through one of your previous guests, Lena Kjellberg, that you had some time ago. She had a kind of, what do you call it, a lecture or a presentation that I went to visit and thought her stuff was just...
So was that fantastic. Lena? Was that Lena?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The matchbox queen. So that's when I got a bit interested in Pinhole. I went out. I got one of those Diana F Plus with a built-in, the modern Diana camera.
Yeah, I have one of those. I've never managed to make the Pinhole. Well, I've only tried it once, and I got a blank image, or maybe it was just a black image. I don't know, but I gave up after that.
That was my first venture into Pinhole on my own, I think. And I ended up... Well, there was something on the film, but that was before I knew anything about this so-called reciprocity failure. And maybe, but I think I used Formapan, and it's not a myth with that film. I guess. And then I went to a workshop with Lena and Peter, which you also had on on Worldwide Pinhole Day 2013. We build our own cameras, and I build one out of iPhone box, and we shot on paper, one frame, and then into the dark room and developed it, and loaded another paper, and it was a lot of fun, I still have those pictures laying around here somewhere.
A lot of people use iPhone boxes, and it's gloriously ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought so too. That was it.
I made one.
Yeah, it's super wide. It's actually so wide that we couldn't understand. At first, I didn't get any pictures because the box is so thick that the pinhole only saw the edges of the box. So we had to make a bigger hole in the box for me to get any picture.
Bigger hole to put your tin foil over, did you? Tin foil or aluminium can?
Aluminium can. I guess.
Cool.
So, and from there it's been Finhole and Holgas, and I have a, what is it, a Noon, a Polish wooden camera. Six nine and 6.12. It's a beautiful box that I take out sometimes. And the one on Instagram, the Pincora, that I made myself, or made myself. I took a camera and ripped the lens out of it and put a pinhole in it.
That's how it works.
I don't know if that qualifies for a homemade camera.
Sure.
But the one I made for Pinhole Day this year, the brass camera, if you've seen it on Facebook, maybe.
Corey wouldn't have done.
I would have seen it. I was going to say, Andrew, have you seen it?
probably. I'm desperately hunting for it now.
Yes, it's a 4x5 brass.
Yes, I did see that. Yeah, look, that looked lovely.
Yeah.
I think I commented on it. I'm sure I did when you were building it.
Yeah, unfortunately, I put the second folding of the... I had a sheet of brass that I cut into and made a camera of, but I had one measurement wrong, so it's pretty much impossible to get light tight.
I've just sent a picture of it on Messenger to Corey as we were talking.
Okay,
Because I'm staring at it now, and You've got brass sheets, and you've got some, there's some screws there. There's a big hole that you've drilled into it, and presumably there's a smaller pinhole in there somewhere that I can't quite see. Or maybe...
Yes. And then I have another piece of brass.
Yep.
Hold on with a magnet as a shutter.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
but the box is kind of small.
Why brass?
Because in another post, I think, in the group as well, there is a beautiful old Kodak lens from a folder camera that has brass and black. And I got that camera. It's from early 1900, I think. And I bought that camera without the bellows, just because that lens was so good looking. And I wanted to build a camera around matching that brass and black and red shutter. But unfortunately, I have to have another taller camera for it to cover, for that lens to cover 4x5 on a pinhole.
Yeah.
So this brass pinhole camera you made for Pinhole Day. Did you get any images out of it, or was it just full of light leaks?
No. I got a couple of images out of it. One of them, I think, is on Instagram.
Which one?
The one of the boat.
Okay. I like that. The boat on the mud.
No, that's a Holger Pan.
The
crane.
Okay, the one with the crane.
Yeah, the one with the crane is that camera.
T-Max 100. Well, that's it works, doesn't it?
It works. And the funny thing about that picture is because I'm so disorganized and not used to large format, I was absolutely sure that I had paper in that holder.
Mm-hmm.
So I just opened the camera and went for a walk because this is going to take several minutes. So that's actually a 3 to 4 minute exposure on an old expired T-Max.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I came home I realized, it's filming this one.
I think 4x5 is the perfect aspect ratio format, I think.
Yeah.
Just a little bit bigger than square, but
I prefer it wider.
Yeah.
To be honest, I prefer actually 9x12. It's like I don't like 6x7. It's
almost square.
Yeah, I had the Pentax 6x7, but I had to sell it because
you just weren't digging it.
It was. It's either square, like the Holga, or panoramic.
Right. That's a big camera too, isn't it? I mean, that's a pretty good size camera to lug around, but not know if you want to shoot it or not, you know?
But it's very light. It weighs almost nothing. So.
So there you go.
Yeah, I'm torn. I like all formats. I do like square, but I use all sorts of things really, but I do like square. And I have my RB67, which I like. The Holger is a thing that I gravitate to mostly.
You could be like James and make an 8x8 roll film camera out of X-ray film. Have you seen that camera he made?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
He's a madman. Did you see that, Krista? Yeah. James Guerin's big, huge pinhole camera?
No, I don't think I missed that, I think.
Yeah. I think he's using maybe 8x10 X-ray film that he's sticking together, splicing together, and making roll film out of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's cutting it down to 8x8.
Is
pieces.
He?
Right. And he like puts it onto a really long sheet of paper and makes like humongous rolls of 20 cameras, like as big as your coffee table. You know, it's crazy.
Krista, you came into pinhole photography by making a camera, which is all fine and dandy. Many of us just go out and buy one, and then some of us make pinhole cameras, some don't. So do you still prefer that, the homemade camera, or do you get a kick out of using nice wooden Noon cameras or whatever.
I like the Noon camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in my so-called homemade 6x6, I have one of James Guerin's pinholes, so it's not... I've done nothing to that other than rip out the lens and
put
a laser drill the pinhole into it. So I'm thinking about changing that to a pinhole that I made myself. Just for the
I've got Mike Walker's Titan pinhole camera that Corey had before. Yeah. And I've got one of the spare, you know, with those cameras, not only can you change the cones to get the different focal lengths, but you can take out the little round piece in the middle, which holds the pinhole.
Yeah.
And I've got a spare one that Mike sent me.
The pinhole mount?
The pinhole mount. So I've got a homemade pinhole made for it, but because I've not really been out doing much photography. So the Mike's camera is brilliant, but it's almost like you're shooting with a camera with a lens in it. It's so sharp, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, yeah, so. That's what I think feels with Noon as well. It's maybe it's a bit too sharp. That's why I like the anamorphic stuff.
Yeah, so I was going to...
A bit more crazy.
You've been playing with anamorphic cameras and some good results. Well, homemade anamorphic cameras, I think.
Yes, it's homemade.
Tell us a little bit about your homemade anamorphic camera.
I like this picture that you have posted. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Of the of the tire of a, looks like a race car or something, or 18 wheeler. Yeah,
it's a sort of a race car. Yeah.
Did you? Is that just one pinhole on the top? Because I got an anamorphic pinhole camera from was it Chris Andrew?
Chris Paraguay,
And there's a pinhole on each end, so I'm not sure if I should expose both at the same time or
Try using one to start with, because at least you'll get an idea what it is you're trying to look at. You know,
I did it with one, and I had no idea.
It's hard enough using one in time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you really have to get your head around it. I always get, as in this picture as well, a lot of foreground.
Yeah.
Even though the can is tilted like 45 degrees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It probably needs more tilt or maybe get up on a tripod. I tend to put it on the ground.
Yeah, I just lay mine on the ground.
Because that's where pinhole cameras belong, I think.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
This is the one with the wheel, because the wheel is pretty sharp, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. distorted, yes. But then the ground has turned into what looks like a hard boiled egg.
It does. A big concrete ball or something.
And then the front fender of the car points straight down. It gets so weird.
I think I'm going to load that pinhole camera up I got from Chris and start shooting it again.
You really put it. This is maybe like 20 to 30 centimeters. Is that mm-hmm. a foot away or something?
Yeah.
From the car. And I still got the car and all the surroundings. And,
So you could probably just about take it and set it on the edge of the rim of the tire and point it like that. You probably would still get all the car in the sky.
When you have your paper curved inside the box, it pretty much sees everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
what did you make your anamorphic pinhole camera out of? Just describe it to us.
It's like a beer can shaped,
mm-hmm.
But shorter.
Mm. Yep. Oh, shorter! So wow.
I get negatives like 10 to 12 centimeters wide and 5-6 centimeters high.
Mm. Okay.
You have to do the math.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, you shouldn't. That's the wrong place to come for math, I'm telling you.
So I kept them at home, and I can load like 10 or 12 inside the camera.
Oh.
And I take, I have a piece of electric tape as a shutter. Take that, put the camera in position, and take away the tape. And then I have a dark bag. Open the dark bag, take out the paper, and put it in empty box from photographic paper. Sure. Put the lid back on again and can take the next picture. So I collect all the exposed paper in a box in a dark bag. So I don't have to run in and out in a dark room or fiddle around with paper or stuff. So it's pretty convenient. I'm looking for a better sized box.
Container. Yeah.
Because I have a whole lot of 5x7, 7x5 paper that I want to do anamorphic on.
I think if you take, I'm not sure. I can't see one. I've got it somewhere. You know the Illy coffee tan, René Vonk uses the.
Yeah.
If you, the one that has beans in it, not the grand coffee, the one that has beans, already has a little hole in the end.
Perfect.
I don't know how big it is, but you could just make it a bit bigger. So you've got if you buy your Illy tin, which has got a metal lid, and it's got beans in it. I'd put 4x5 film in that, but I think you could probably do 5x7. I'm sure you could, but I haven't tried it. But so that would be good, and that would make a great anamorphic. I think I'm sure I've done that and put a hole in the middle, you know, and then a hole at the end, so you've got options for both of them. But I've not used it. I'm sure I've made one somewhere. I don't know where it is, but I must. I'm getting inspired now, like Corey is, having seen the picture of the wheel. I think the trick.
I only have one hole, and it's in the end.
In the end,
nothing on the side.
Yeah, but you could put it on the side. Then you've got a multi-purpose camera, haven't you?
Yes.
I think the trick is to have a subject for this which is quite graphic and is quite kind of obvious, you know. Like
I don't know. I don't know if that still seems to work. That seems to make it even worse, doesn't it?
The vehicle works well, doesn't it? And people do a house on a hill, then you get like a haunted house on the hill, don't you? Or the railway tracks.
You have the power lines
some
rows up. It's from the same camera.
Yeah, that's on your Instagram, isn't it, as well?
The power lines are going all over the place. So what I really want to do with that camera is put it under, you know, bridges and overpasses and stand under them and just let them go wherever they go.
Yeah.
Like the power lines here.
Yeah.
Makes for a...
Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, with the sun.
Why not make it even harder?
Yeah, why not?
Put it right in the sun and some power lines and a stretch of road as well.
It worked out nice though.
Yeah, it's great to shoot on paper. I like that a lot.
Do you do more paper than film? Then you seems. I mean, of course, if you're shooting your 6x6, you're using film, but I mean, like anything else, you use mostly paper.
The 4x5, I started testing it with paper. Then for pinhole day, I loaded it with film.
Cool. Yeah, paper's good because you can just tear a little piece off and just test it, and you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Test it.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Why? If you have a dark room, you can just. Andrew. Mm-hmm. We all don't have the luxury of having a professionally coated floor darkroom in our house, you know, so we have to.
I dropped 2 liters of black paint on it before I was painting the area behind the enlargers, which was already black. I'd used a blackboard paint, and I wasn't happy with the finish because it looked like a Look like I was in school, you know.
You need it blacker. What's blacker than black? You know.
Well,
you
I've Spinal now, Tap. I've now used licorice black.
Oh.
And then I dropped it on the floor because I was moving my De Vere 504 enlarger. I couldn't move it, you see, because it's too heavy, and I can't get it through the door easily without dismantling it. And I didn't want to dismantle it because I'm hopeless at dismantling it. Last time I did it, I nearly broke the enlarger. So I moved this enlarger sideways so I could get behind it to paint behind it, and forgot that the tin of paint was just next to the enlarger.
Bloop.
And the next thing I knew, I was holding the enlarger in one hand and I saw the tin of paint fall on the floor. You know?
Bummer.
You got an empty cam for the camera.
Well, yeah, that's not.
It's already painted black.
Painted black.
There yeah, we had someone on, didn't we, back in the day who used paint cans. Forget who it was. It was a long time ago.
You gotta look for the positives, Andrew.
I was talking when I was with Dave. When we were with Dave Shrimpton the other day, Dave does a lot of pinhole work, and he just loves the purity of it. You know, he makes pinhole cameras out of anything, and he was doing a workshop recently, and Hillary Clark, who was visiting him for the weekend, she brought with her a metal cooking pot. I think it was a cooking pot. Yeah, big cauldron thing. And she said, "Well, can we just make a camera out of this?" And so he drilled a hole in it and
voila,
stuck a pin through a bit of aluminium and worked out what the focal length was. And they made some. In fact, he made a stunning picture on a large sheet of paper. Because David's got this area, because he lives right down the end of this lane, he's got this, if you look up Dave Shrimpton on Instagram, Dave probably underscore Shrimpton, you'll see a lot of pictures of models that he shoots and people who come to his workshops in this wooded lane where the trees form a sort of tunnel, you know, a tunnel of light.
Oh, yeah.
And he uses props like old prams, you know, like those old-fashioned prams. And he makes wet plates pictures down there. And he did one of the pram with this homemade pinhole camera. And it's just brilliant, you know. And I think, well, you know, it's so pure, isn't it? You know, and it reminds me how accessible and simple pinhole photography is.
Yeah, it is.
And how you can overcomplicate it.
Yes, you sure can. Why do you paint your darkroom black? Mine is completely white.
Yeah, so is mine. Yeah, no, just the area behind the enlarger. I've managed to stop most of the little light leaks that you invariably get. But it's just any stray light coming out of the enlarger, just behind it and to the side. So I've got this little area where the enlargers sit. It's black behind it, to the sides and above it. So it's sitting in a little black area. The rest of the darkroom, which is another, you know, 2 or 3 meters by two or three meters, is all is bright white. You're quite right. Yeah. No, you don't want a black darkroom. That's pretty depressing, isn't it? You'll struggle to see anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. So let's move off pinhole for a brief while, because one of the things I was loving about the stuff you were sharing, certainly through last year, where you were getting obsessed with wide panoramics, and you bought yourself a wide Lux.
That's the same one that Jeff Bridges used, isn't it?
Mm, yep. Well, there are lots of different versions of wide Luxes, aren't there, Krista?
Yeah, mine is an F7, but there is not much difference between them.
Yeah.
I think the only difference between the F7 and the F8 is if you can use a shutter cord release on one of them.
Yeah.
And maybe there was something, but the aperture and the shutter times
the same.
Pretty much the same on all of them.
So do you have to kind of pay more attention to your film speed with that camera, or do you have shutter control and stuff? Or I mean,
yeah, I have three shutter speeds: 15th of a second, 125th, and 250. Yes. And apertures from 2.8 to 11. Huh. So you don't load 400 speed film and go out on a bright day.
Yeah.
I shoot like the most recent was ISO 25 film.
Yeah, right.
Which is perfect for bright days.
At 250th of a second?
Yeah, 125th.
125th, sorry.
I used for the most of the time for the last roll.
Right.
And it's a lovely camera.
Yeah.
Jeff Bridges is the famous person, isn't he? You presumably got one of his books, have you? That he made.
Yeah, I actually have both.
Yeah, nice.
I bought the new one when it was released, and then I thought I got to have the other one, so I found one for a good price on Amazon, and from somewhere in California, and it's actually signed.
Oh, cool.
So that's it's really signed cool. to some woman. Well, it's not signed to any Christ, unfortunately.
Does it say some woman, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, you should just rub her. You should just rub her name out. Yeah, just rub her name out and put yours in.
I changed my name to Margot.
There you are. Yeah.
For Margot from Jeff Bridges. Uh-huh. So, this is kind of cool.
There you go.
I was hoping to end up with enough money saved at the end of last year to buy one, but I didn't have enough money saved up. So I've got the poor man's equivalent. In fact, I had two. I had the Horizon S3, which was full of light leaks, and I couldn't cure it, so I gave it away. Now someone else has got it with full of light leaks. But then I bought the very basic Lomo one. The Bel-Air? Horizon Compact.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's still got the 120 degrees, but it's got all it has is a fixed speed, which is about a 60th of a second, and f/8. And you know what? I go out on all sorts of days with it, and if it's a bright day, I put 100 speed foamer pan in. If it's a dull day, I put some FP5 in or something like that, and the results have been perfect. And I thought, actually, you know, not having all these controls is fine if you just swap your film around, you know, depending on what day. And that camera, which I only paid £70 for, produces some brilliant images, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
That's great.
But I do hanker after one of the wide luxes. But people who have those, they tend to have several of them, don't they, Christo? Because they always want to make sure they've got one that's working properly.
Yeah, I only have the money to keep one at the moment.
Yeah, you need to be Jeff Bridges, don't you, to have more than one?
Yep, I got lucky and found one on the Facebook Marketplace, just 3 minutes from home for a good price. Just as the tax return came, like 2 years ago or 1 year.
You got some. Yes,
pull the trigger.
It was good timing. Yeah.
I'm always worried if I get money back from the tax man that they've got it wrong and they're going to ask for it back again.
Well, good luck taking them back if you spent them.
Just come get this wide lux because that's the only way I can pay you back.
Have you been using it recently? Because you've got some great images that I've seen. Oh, the cars you've been using. Are they some of the most recent ones you've been using it for?
The most recent I've not posted yet. I just digitized them this week.
I love the cars though, Krista. The tonality on them. You're using F key. Black 100 speed film.
Yeah. I love that film. It's a good thing I have 200 feet of it in my fridge.
I mean, it really suits this subject.
Yeah.
These old cars. You've stumbled across a graveyard of old cars, haven't you?
We went there for a weekend. It's a really enormous place. In the middle of the woods where they used to just stack. They are stacked all over the place. We walked in place for a whole day. It's huge. So yeah, I had the wide lux, I had my Hasselblad, and I think I have some pinhole cameras because I have the Holga pinhole as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe not got any pictures from that camera that I was happy with. It's a tricky one, that 135 wide. It has a tendency to eat films.
Yeah. The Jeff Bridges has this technique, doesn't he, that he likes to do with putting the same person here at each end of the... He gets them to change their expressions, Curry.
Yep.
He gets them to be smiling in one and sort of sad in another.
I tried that and failed.
Yeah, me too. I tried it and failed.
I will keep trying. It's a matter of timing. And one of those days, you nail it.
You're using an... Adox or Adox, I'm never sure how to pronounce it, FX39.
Yeah, it was my first time using that. I'm super happy with it. It was... I'm certainly going to buy more of that.
I'm sure. I'm thinking back now. There was a British photographer and chemist who worked for... Well, I think he worked for Patterson Photographic, you know, Geoffrey Crawley. And some UK folks will remember the name Geoffrey Crawley. And Geoffrey developed a whole range of specialist developers, two bath developers for Patterson, you know, and they were very specialised. And I'm sure he was the first one to develop the formula for FX39. Now, whether Adox or Adox has taken it up now and it's the same film, I don't know. But back in the day, Patterson were marketing all these specialist films, and Geoffrey Crawley was a proper photographic chemist, you know? Mm. And he would publish articles in, you know, the British publication Amateur Photographer, which, you know, now is like full of digital cameras and, you know, stuff, how to shoot sunrises and stuff like that. But he would
waterfalls.
Publish, he would publish really quite technical articles, and he would have died 20-25 years ago, and I think I can't remember the story. Somebody out there will remember the story of what happened to his sort of formulas. Patterson stopped producing them, but I know other companies picked up his brands, and I'm sure FX39 was one of his. I'm sure it was, and there was others as well, and they all had different applications. Some were for very high contrast scenes, you know, so they were compensating developers, and some were speed increasing, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'm actually reading it right now on the webpage. He was actually at Adox refining the recipe. That's why he called the FX39-2.
Right. Because so where's the Patterson connection? Was that while he was with Patterson, or did he work with Adox?
Adox had produced F4 Patterson since 2004.
Right. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. In June 2004.
So he was the chemist who worked with Adox to produce these brands of film, which then some of them were marketed through Patterson, but they were made.
They weren't
made by Patterson because Patterson didn't have that kind of capability. But they were Adox, which is, of course, a very old, very very old historic film company, isn't it? Film and developing company.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Yes, I only used Rodinal and the HC110 until now.
Yeah, I was going to say, what other have you? D76, or do you have a...
No. I used Cinestill's C41
kit. Yeah, I have one of those.
For color.
Mm-hmm. How many are you squeezing out of that then?
No, I think I'm up to 13 or 14 now. I'm gonna go some more.
Yeah, I got up to 25 with mine, but I'm.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do because I'm saving up color film again, and I don't know whether to just. My head is telling me to stick to 12 or 15 and just throw the chemicals away. But my pocket is telling me to keep going, you know?
Yep. I might try them with Ilford, what is it, XP2?
Mm-hmm.
The black and white C41.
That's a lovely film.
At the end, you know, when you're not sure. Yeah. Surely that must work, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I tend to do the...
I don't know.
I tend to do the cross-processing, you know, when I'm getting towards the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to You know, Aloha Mike.
Big Mike.
Yeah, Big Mike. Yeah, he was talking about doing
Mike,
E6.
Mike Caputo.
I told him, you should hang on to it and run your E6 chemistry. Just get yourself a couple of cheap rolls of C41 and just have fun and just run it through it to see what it does, how it shifts, you know. It's going to keep changing because it's exhausting, you know, so you can't ever tell.
Right.
Where he lives at in Hawaii with so many colors, you know, it could be something. Yep. Yeah, he could get something cool out of there, you know. I hope he tries it. Yep.
And you bought yourself a Bel Air camera. You know, I'm a fan of the Bel Air, and you were having some fun with that, turning it upside down and doing weird things.
Yeah. It's a great camera. We have had one on our Swedish eBay for quite some time with the glass lenses.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them. And I have been keeping myself from, no, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And I have actually now, hopefully someone else has bought it so it don't show up again.
Yeah.
Because I'm perfectly happy with the plastic lens.
This one you posted of the road with the multiple exposure upside down. Yeah. Man, I don't think you could get that perfectly if you were able to see it and line it up. Yeah, you know, have you seen this picture, Andrew?
I'm looking at it now.
It's
called
that side up with the way the road twists around each other. Right
I saw when Krista posted it originally. Man. It's not quite perfect, I have to say, but it's nearly
close enough.
but close enough makes it perfect.
Yeah,
because perfect has not been as good, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Are you favoring, because it comes, the basic one that I've got came with that 90 mil lens and then a wider one, didn't it? 58 or 68 or something. And then you've got masks that go 6x12, 6x9, and 6x6. Which combination are you favoring?
The 90 mil and 6x12.
Mm-hmm.
I think. The masks for smaller. For 6x6, then I can take the whole gas. Well,
yeah, I've shot mine with 6x6, and I thought, well, I'm not sure why I'm doing this because I might. Why don't I just use the whole gas?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I have the 135 back for it as well.
Yeah,
or the 35mm back.
The original Bel Air that I had was from the Kickstarter, you know. Well, Lomography call it Kickstarter, and that's the one where I got brilliant, stunning results, really good. And in the end, I gave it away because I was, you know, I was in that mood where I wanted to just clear out cameras, you know. Now and again, I go for that, and sometimes putting things on eBay. You know, people think, yeah, is there anything wrong with it? And actually, there was a couple of little niggles with it, and I didn't want to go through all the hassle of saying, well, you know, it's got this wrong with it and that wrong with it. I said, look, if you want it, someone have it, you know. So I gave it away. Mm. And then I missed it. So I kept looking at these pictures I made with it. I thought, man, you know. And so I found one boxed in a charity shop online, you know, boxed and sealed for just under £100. And I bought it. And so far, I've only used the really wide lens, and I'm not getting such great results with that. So I think I now need to go back to the 90. Thinking maybe because it's not so wide. I mean, I'm not looking for perfection, am I? It's a Bel Air, for goodness sake. But I was so used to what I was getting before. I was with this wide one. I was getting quite a lot of fall off, but just on one side, Christy. You know, it was going weird on one side. Okay. If it went weird on both sides, that would be okay. But not weird on one side. It just looks a bit naff, you know.
You look lazy.
But it's not the easiest camera to use, is it? Because you've got the shutter is on the lens board at the front. So if you don't support it properly, you can just press that. As you press it, you know, you just move the whole camera up and down.
That's one of the parts that I thought it was not worth throwing more money at it. Because even if you have all the nice lenses, you still have this flimsy shutter on the
lens.
Lots of wiggle.
Huh. Of wiggle. So I think with the one I have.
It's the camera is so close, isn't it, to being just brilliant.
Yeah. You know,
but like many things with Lomography, it's just not quite there.
It's almost there.
And a lot of people, when it was first introduced, people couldn't get Infinity Focus because it was just crap, you know. A lot of them, you couldn't get Infinity Focus. And mine you just about could. But then I thought, actually, I'm actually using this a lot for things that are closer, you know. I used it a lot for wide portraits, and it's spot on for the shorter focal length. And I wasn't too worried that it wouldn't quite render the background sharp. Sometimes I couldn't tell whether I was just got camera shake or whether it's just, you know, the fact that it couldn't quite reach focus infinity.
Mm.
But you could frig it to make it, you know, you could change take one of the tabs off and just make it so that it did focus at infinity. But, you know, it's a great camera and a great fun camera, and it's great with the 135 back on it.
Yeah, I want to take this some summer nights to take some long exposures with it, but I don't really know how it's possible, but I think maybe I have a plan with a Holger lens cap and some rubber bands around the shutter mechanism. What,
so you don't have to keep your finger on it all the time?
Yeah, so open it up with the lens cap on and then do the hat trick, but with the lens cap, open it up and then put the lens cap back on and then close the shutter, take the rubber strap away.
Yeah,
so I want to try that for 6x12 would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think 6x12 and the 90mm lens is probably the combination that I'm going to go for. So it's fun camera. Who is it who won't come on the Lenses podcast? Mono.
Lots of people won't.
Mono. Yeah, monobod. Monobod. Yeah. He won't come on, but he makes some stunning images it's his Diana with he's got a 135 back on his Diana, and he does a lot of wide pinhole shots, doesn't he? And fantastic. And I keep looking, Krista, at sprocket rockets and things like that, and I thought, well, actually, the Bel Air is fine. I don't need a sprocket rocket as well as a Bel Air, really.
No.
Well, I don't need it.
35mm back.
Yeah. So what? You've got your Lomography Bel Air. You've got your 135 Holger. Have you?
Yes.
With a lens in, and you've got a 13. You've got a Holger wide. Holger wide pinhole as well. Have you?
No, that's missing in the collection.
Oh, sure.
I'm on the lookout for one of those.
Well, they did start going up in price, didn't they?
You know? Yep.
And then they came back down again when they suddenly became available.
Yeah. Someone found a forgotten shipment.
Oh, look, there's a whole single. Jeez, how we look at this.
But the Holger Adventures is, I blame that on Lena Kilmer as well.
Yep.
She held a workshop at her place back in 2013 that I attended and got completely hooked. You have pretty far down on my Instagram, you have some light streaks. It says Rio on the picture in neon signs.
Mm-hmm. I've never had a Holger with light leaks.
No, it's not light leak. It's light streaks.
It's car streaks. Oh, I see. Right.
Rio. With the sign that says Rio.
Yeah. That's one of my very first Holger pictures.
Mm-hmm.
From that workshop. Oh, there you go.
With the leaky paper, the leaky back, the leaky numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say that must be Lomography.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Lomography film.
It works out though. I mean, it doesn't distract from it. You know, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So what's next then? What are you focusing on? Anything, you know, to projects, or are you just jumping around like most of us do?
Yeah, I'm too unorganized. I have had plans for a project. I want to take a photograph of, you know, people at bus stops just before the bus come and take a pinhole picture while the bus comes in and takes them away, so the shadow's left.
That's a cool idea.
I think actually just having, because bus, have you got that book Soviet Bus Stops? Have you got go on to it's not very expensive. There's two of them. There's a guy went around the Soviet Union. He photographed all these crazy bus stops, all in color, and it's brilliant. And he's got two books out now. I've only got the first one. My daughter bought it for me for my birthday.
Check that out.
But to have a series where you know you'll have to get the buy-in of the people at the bus stop, photograph the bus stop with, set your camera for either in pinhole or whatever camera, with the people in the shop. And then they go, and then just photograph the bus stop empty. And so you've got, that's my vision of it. So that's a great idea. I might pinch that now. You've suggested it.
I have one pictures on the Instagram from that project. It's pretty far down. What is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rows up from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bus stop with a house.
That's great. I love that.
Yeah,
and I looked at that. I looked at that earlier. Yeah, that's
that's my 6x6 pin Cora that I ripped the lens of and it's a SUV that making a U-turn in front of my camera and just touches the edge of it. You know, you can't do it better than that. So after that, that project died.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
This picture was put up here quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yes.
But it's great.
When
I was looking through your feed earlier, I thought, oh, I like that. That's really good. In fact, those three pictures in a row there, you've got the one in the woods. Was that? Oh, that's an iPhone. There you go. We'll skip over that. And then you've got the one next to it, which is the pin core as well, which is like a reflection in a window or something with a girl with glasses and stuff. I love that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a picture of Rennie Vonk on the right there. But I don't think it is. Guy with a beard.
I think if you go one picture past that one, and then there's a picture of a guy walking on a sidewalk. The next picture is that same corner, but in black and white of that Rio shot.
Yes. It's one of my favorite cinemas to shoot.
Yeah, I like the black and white one better than the color. But that's just me. They're both great shots.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the black and white one. I'd like the color one, but I don't like where the numbers feed through. You know,
I know it's lomography all over it.
Andrew can be a bit cranky sometimes. You just have to ignore him.
It's actually kind of funny. I went out to shoot that comet that we had passing over us last fall, I think, that was visible for the eye. If you looked in the right direction, I thought it can be cool to have that on film. But all I got was lomography backing paper.
Oops. Don't use a lomography when it really matters.
No. Nope.
The other one which really leaps out at me in your Instagram feed, and by the way, folks, if you just go onto Instagram and type in Krista Brandt, Brandt, he has got a handle there, but it's complicated. But if you just put his name in, you'll find him. And it's a dignified gentleman holding his chin with his hand.
Pinhole photographer that took that.
Yeah.
Johan Lindgren.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's a film photo that as well.
Yeah, I did one of Neil Piper and he used that as his handle picture, you know, for a long time. Yeah. He's changed it recently, so I don't talk to him anymore. the blue one at Belfast, which is just, I thought, whoa, what's going on there? So you've got this blue square image, which you again shot with a Holger, double exposure, using Reala. That's Fuji, isn't it? Must be Fuji.
Yes, Reala.
However you
Reala.
But this wild blue color, and then you've just got a little bit of green, haven't you, as well? What's it?
Yeah.
Why is it on that weird blue color?
It's expired, you know. It's probably 20 years or something expired.
Yikes.
Probably overexposed due to double exposure. So the 6x12 of the upside down double exposure is also Fuji.
Okay. Reale. Right. You got a stock of, have you got a stock of expired film in your fridge?
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I have most films I have are expired, but to support the industry, I try to buy fresh film when I buy expired film.
Yeah.
So people won't yell at me.
I think that's a good idea. If you buy one, it's like saving the planet, you know, go on a car trip and plant a tree. So buy a roll of film fresh and then you can go out and buy your expired one.
Mm. Yeah. I know people are annoyed with the use of expired film. I like the experimental side. You know, if you're into box cameras and toy cameras and pinhole cameras.
Why
don't you use expired film as well?
That's what we haven't talked about, because I just clicked on one more picture. Corey will be getting twitchy now because we've gone past his 60 minutes. But ignore him. So, one of your great shots from the Project Box camera that you and I did and some others last year. Yeah. You've one of these images on here, Corey. It must be a mural, a wall painting with some cars in. There's a striking picture of a woman with a bird. And it was shot on Rolly Ortho 25, which in a full view box camera. Now, I've not got one of those, but I kept thinking I should get one of those full view. Is it? There's a couple of versions, aren't there? So it's one that almost looks like a TLR with a glass top on and a curved top.
I think that's the most common one.
Mm-hmm.
I have that one.
Yeah,
it's such a bright finder.
Yeah,
I love to use it.
Krista and I, and probably a dozen or more others, I can't remember how many, took part in this project last year. Corey, we must have spoken about it, where you used a roll of film every month. And if you had a different box camera to use every month, that would be good. I had about 8 or 9 box cameras, so I didn't quite manage it. But I did buy a few, and of course I bought some great ones, and they were just like, you know, 10 or 12 pounds or something. And some of them had like greasy green filters in them, which gave it a really weird, you know, softness. And I thought it was a great, great project. Yeah. And
yeah. I didn't have enough cameras for one a month when it started, but I certainly had when it ended.
I don't know if Neil, I know Neil listens. I don't know if we ought to really get together, all of us, and produce some kind, at least one or maybe two little zines on it. And, you know, Neil, we need to do this. I'm sure we'll all contribute to the cost of it, you know, and cover the cost. Those people who want to be in on it can just throw a few quid in, whatever it costs, and make a zine, because Neil's in control of it. They've all been uploaded to the website and to his blog, and they're all on the box, up on the cloud, aren't they? In there, so Neil has all these pictures. I was looking at the box
picture taken during that project.
Yeah. How many cameras did you end up owning at the end of the year, Krista? Box cameras?
15, I think.
15. There you go. Nice. But I was not using. I had probably half a dozen before I started and bought another two or three. Yeah. But these were cameras that were just sitting on my shelf, and I'd use once and then stuck back on the shelf. And so this was a wonderful opportunity to get these things out and remind yourself how creative you can be with these really simple cameras.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of them, of course, when I joined the project. My first medium format was a box camera. So, and back then I didn't know anything about that red window or anything. So it was quite overexposed. I had to actually drop the camera off at the lab for them to unload, because I didn't have a clue how to do. I just loaded a film, shot it, and left it. Hey, can you take care of this?
Well, I certainly want to go back to the one camera I do keep going back to is my Hawkeye flash, you know, with the flip lens, and I use that exclusively for portraits, and it's just brilliant, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a great project, Curry. And
I remember following along with it a little bit.
There's even the tribute to Neil Piper in the. Quite a bit down on my Instagram. The cows. The cow pictures.
The bull.
Yep.
On your wide lux. Yeah, name that cow. Yeah. So I'll just type in there because it's quite a long one. Neil Piper. There we go. And I think Neil's getting a bit touchy now about people saying, you know, about mentioning cows every time one appears. Neil Piper.
That's how it goes when you have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Anything else, Curry?
That's it. Thanks for coming on.
75 minutes.
We're good.
Oh, it went fast.
Happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there.
So. Krista, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
Did you manage to get through your hobgoblin, or did you?
Yep. It's all finished. My fridge is hobgoblins and expired film.
Very good.
They're competing on the fridge.
Grab another one and have one for us.
Yeah.
So, John, just a shout out to John Farnham, who, when I posted in the Facebook group, didn't know who Krista was.
There you go. Said,
who is he? I don't know who he is. Why should I know who he is?
Yeah, now you do.
I think that was hilarious.
And I said, well, and then he said, oh, I do know who he is. I've actually commented on some of his posts.
Yeah. Just wait, Krista. Your Instagram is going to. You're probably going to get 5 more followers from this show.
Ah, prepare. Great.
At least 5.
Yeah.
So is it mainly Instagram, Krista, that folks can follow you on?
Yes. It's CB_13 on film.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in the Facebook group.
My film photography, then I have another. I actually put up one for Pinhole. CB_13 on Pinhole, but I've not put anything up there yet.
Okay.
If I do, I'll put it up in the Facebook group.
Please
market myself.
Yeah, that's it. You've got to do that. Brilliant. Thank you very, very much, Krista. And keep on using that wide lux and sharing those great images.
I will do.
We'll talk to everybody soon. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Pretty good.
Excuse me.
Andrew's not doing so well. He can't handle tea.
Take it easy with that tea.